Prabhupada, Paramahamsa, Padavrajakacharya, Asto Tarsita Shishimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padavrajakacharya Asto Tarsita Shishimad, His Divine Grace, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Śrīla Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Śrīla Haridasa-thākura Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Śrīla Prabhupada Ki Jai. Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Shri Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Sama Veda Bhakti Rinda Ki Jai. Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jai. Brihat Mridanga Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Hiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatya Deshatarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 4. Jigyasitam aditam cha brahma yat tat sanatanam tatapi shochasi atmanam akrita artaha eva prabho Jigyasitam atitam cha brahmayatat sanatanam tatapi sochas yatmanam akritarta eva prabho jigyasitam atitam cha brahmayatat sanatanam tapi sochas yatmanam kritartha eva prabho jigyasitam aditam cha brahmayathat sanatanam tapi sochas yatmanam akritartha eva prabho. Please chant. Jigyasitam aditam cha brahmayathat sanatanam tatapi sochas yatmanam akritartha eva prabho. Jigyasitam aditam cha brahmayathat sanatanam tatapi sochas yatmanam akritartha eva prabho. Jigyasitam aditam cha Brahmayatatsanatanam. Tathapi sochasyatmanam. Akritartha eva prabho. Anybody else? Jikyasitam. Deliberated fully well. Aditam. The knowledge obtained. Cha. And. Brahma. The absolute. Yat. What? Tat. That. Sanatanam. Eternal. Tatapi. In spite of that. Shochasi. Lamenting. Atmanam. Unto the self. Akrita artaha. Undone. Eva. Like. Bravo. My dear sir. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? Please repeat. You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman. As well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this? Thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra, compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity, and the methods are scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So, why should he lament? Namaha Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes in the material world, living entities pursue a great task, but then they feel despondent afterward, and people inquire from them, why are you not satisfied? And maybe they say, because I didn't follow my heart, or whatever. You know, they did something, but they didn't really satisfy their heart. Maybe they, you know, went to school for their parents, and they got a career, and they were a big executive or whatever. And everyone was so amazed. What a great accomplishment. But then they felt totally empty because they didn't fulfill their true heart's desire and they were totally dissatisfied with their life because they did what everybody else wanted and they didn't satisfy their particular desire. So that's a mundane example. And the devotee, like Vyasadeva, he, of course, is trying to present this knowledge for the good of all humanity and as a service to the Supreme Lord. So certainly he's trying to connect from the heart with Krishna and all living entities, but we see here it was a great philosophical exposition, the greatest in the world. And yet, he was still not satisfied. He was lamenting. So when you don't really touch fully the heart, devotional service and your pure relationship with Krishna, then everything else falls short. And it says that one's mind and desires and heart are completely restless to one degree or another until the heart rests in that pure loving relationship with the Lord. There's always some kind of restlessness. There's never a full feeling of satisfaction. And one may easily hanker or lament, oh, I could have done this, I didn't do that. And so even for devotees in devotional life, until that purity and that full Krishna consciousness is there, then there's some degree of restlessness. There's some degree, perhaps, of hankering and lamenting until the heart is properly situated in that full loving relationship. So in order to help all living entities to fulfill that heartfelt desire, nothing else can fully fulfill it. You can try so many things in this world, but until the heart is completely cleansed and completely ready to surrender to that relationship with Krishna, there's always going to be this despondency and lamentation, just like with Arjuna. You know, until he was at that point of appreciating that he needed to surrender and just give his heart fully to Krishna's will, then he was always in this restless, lamenting, despondent, bewildered state. So to one degree or another, we can relate. You know, we feel different emotions in our life as we're going through, you know, day-to-day activities where we're maybe lamenting, despondent, not feeling fully satisfied. But the thing is, if one always keeps, like Abhi Prabhu was telling us, that if we don't have spiritual goals, this is from Prabhupada's purport, right, in the Gita, the seventh chapter, that if you don't have spiritual goals, then you're not going to have full success, or what was exactly the phrasing? It's, it makes spiritual life difficult, right? So, you're, yeah, why don't you give it to me, I'll read it. You won't have the success, you'll have obstacles on the path, right? If you don't have clear spiritual goals. Right. So, for Vyasadeva, he had a goal, of course, in his composing of Vedanta Sutra and Brahma Sutra, but his full spiritual goal in this regard was to be given to him completely by Narada Muni, so that he would understand that he has to incorporate devotional service in Krishna's pastimes in his composition of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to be fully satisfied himself and have others learn the path of becoming fully satisfied. So this is from chapter 7 in the Gita. It's Prabhupada's purport to text 16. As far as the miscreants are concerned, the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. So this is, in a way, what Vyasadeva is going through. He is to compile Vedas and all of this knowledge. But according to the will and instructions of his guru, and so the full will and instruction of Narada and, of course, Krishna is to have a devotional service and Krishna's activities presented, because otherwise how will living entities fully benefit in their lives? How will they be able to ascertain what is the real spiritual goal of life unless they have the knowledge of devotional service, Krishna's pastimes, and all this? So this is a very important thing that is presented here with Vyasadeva's pastime in compiling the Vedas. So with ourselves too, we have everything at our disposal, just like we were reading about. All facility was given to Vyasadeva. Especially he's an empowered incarnation, he's literary incarnation of the Lord, so certainly all empowerment and facility is given to him. Just like with Srila Prabhupada, all empowerment and facility given to the Shaktivesha avatar to execute the will of the Lord. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada himself would make us aware of this same dilemma in the lives of individual devotees and in the ongoing development of the movement. Prabhupada would say, you know, if you love me, I'll love you. If you're thinking of me, I'll think of you. In other words, he was trying to help the devotees to not feel despondent, frustrated, lamenting, hankering, and just, you know, depressed or not enlivened, right? So he would always say things that would go straight to the heart and help the devotee to realize, okay, so this is the aspect that's missing. The devotional aspect, the loving aspect is missing. You know, maybe my body's engaged and it's mechanically endeavoring, but the bhakti aspect, you know, Prabhupada would always give the reminder, this is what's missing. So, of course, that takes a lot of practice and endeavor and many years of sincere desire to get purified in devotional life to have this manifest more and more, that we're executing our activities on a devotional level and not just on a fruitive or mechanical or profit-oriented level. So how to get the pure level so that we don't lament and so that we feel satisfied in our devotional life, so that we're actually going for the proper goal and we're feeling that there's some hope and some success that we can attain also by taking to the path in a very much deeper way. In other words, Krishna is always encouraging the devotees to intensify their devotional life and to show them that devotional service is ever increasing. You can do something like on this level, Vyasadeva is giving the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. That's pretty intense. But, okay, so what's more? What's more than that? Just like with Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya would ask Ramananda Roy a question, and Ramananda Roy would reply, well, this, you know, situation, doing your activities without fruitive desire and, you know, on and on, he would tell him, well, this is good, and this is good. And then Lord Chaitanya would say, okay, but go beyond that. go beyond it. And then he's having him go to Radha Krishna Leela and understanding Radharani's mood and all of this. So not that we jump ahead falsely in our devotional life and think we're on some platform that we're not. No, but we're always keeping the goal in mind, right? And we're always trying to be thoughtful about how we're doing it and why are we doing it and why we want to strive for the actual goal of pure love. And so, in this way, the pastimes of the Lord and his incarnations and devotees gives us an understanding of how to apply Krishna consciousness in our own life. Otherwise, why would so many great souls like Arjuna and incarnations of the Lord go through these different situations which seem to be so much so-called humanly normal, you know, seemingly like just ordinary confusion. So why is it that so many great personalities seem to go through these kind of things? Well, certainly it helps us. That's one level of why they go through what they go through. And the example that most everybody knows of is Arjuna. And so here is another situation that helps the living entity to go deeper into their life, into their desires, and into their reasons and motivations for doing things. In the material world, generally people are pretty much satisfied when they achieve a certain status quo or a certain materialistic level of a goal that they're looking for. But in spiritual life, we're learning that there's a dynamic that's ever increasing and never stops. And so we're never thinking that, okay, this is good. You know, I'm on the level of just doing my duty and, you know, what I'm told to do and so many things, and that's good enough. But spiritual life is very, very dynamic. And it's not that it's, you know, oh, it's so hellishly full of pressure that I have to always increase in my mood. But it's just a natural thing of the soul to increase in the mood of devotion and to increase in all aspects of loving service. And it happens naturally. It's not like an artificial thing. It's something by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, it just comes naturally. So we shouldn't be afraid of getting rid of complacency. Material life is very, very complacent. And a lot of times we wonder why maybe we feel a little bit despondent, and it could be in part because of some level of complacency, right? And we think, well, you know, it's just too much to think of going beyond this level. But there's nothing wrong with realizing, okay, I'm at this level, but yet at the same time realize that it's natural to gradually progress beyond even that. So not to get frustrated that, well, I'm not here and I'm here, but just to be intelligently realized enough to know, okay, this is good for me now. This is a good level of practice for me now, but never to be complacent about, you know, staying in first grade or second grade or third grade. Always really understanding that to go beyond where I am now is really what the heart wants, and I'll never be fully satisfied in my whole of existence until I keep under the will of the Lord so that I naturally progress in developing this relationship with Krishna and all living entities. When we develop a relationship with Krishna, he's the center, the root. That means that all our relationships with our family members, our friends, our children, or this or that, there's so much more natural and happy and the way they should be, you know. They're really coming from a level that everyone is appreciating more. And so this really helps us. So when we see that there's more to do in life, you know, I can't maybe do it all right now, but when I see that there's more and I'm willing to take up the mood of going towards more surrender and more opening of the heart towards Guru and Krishna and all living entities, then I will get the enthusiasm and the inspiration and the knowledge and the devotion that is needed to deal with everything that I need to deal with and to real, truly be pleasing to the Lord and all living entities and to feel that pleasure in your heart. So so certainly what Vyasadeva is going through is a wonderful situation for us. And we see here his spiritual master asking him, why should you be despondent in spite of all this? So, you know, why should we be despondent in spite of everything we're given by Srila Prabhupada? Well, we can understand everything is given, but our despondency, our lack of enthusiasm or our complacency or whatever it is just temporary. If I'm seeing that spiritual goal, then I don't have to be satisfied that this is always the way it's going to be. I don't have to be so frustrated. It's not always going to be like that. It's not always going to be a struggle, because we see that this is a process that brings us out of struggle and into expressing the real nature of the soul. So in that way, we see through this appreciation of our goals that, it, you know, as Prabhupada would say, the future is bright. So I'm going to stop here if there's any questions or comments. Yes, no one. Talking about that last night, we were thinking of how well, how many people are here, you know, practicing like this? Not many in Denver, in Colorado, in the whole world. So that shows it's rare. Right there, it's rare. So who knows how we got any connection with this rarity? Causes mercy. To get that kind of connection with such rarity, but it is rare. And that's because, well, we're in the material world. People are here because they don't want it. That's why they're here. So it is very rare. Prabhupada would say, don't be surprised who goes, but be surprised who stays. So be surprised who stays and sticks to the process and at least tries. Right? So if anybody just at least keeps trying in association of devotees, eventually, by mercy of Guru and Krishna, the goal is achieved. Not that we have any great prowess to achieve it, but just that simple understanding, simple humble understanding of just try in association And don't give up. Stay in the association. Feel the pull of the parampara pulling you along. And success is guaranteed. But it won't come if we don't try and we just turn our back on the association. I mean, we have that free will. So, it's rare and it can be difficult if we don't try and keep that association and follow as best we can. It is very difficult when we're harboring desires to try to enjoy separately in the material world. But if we're with those who are trying or have given up, those material desires, then we can, by their strength and mercy, we can also become gradually freed from wanting to hang out here in this world. And then it won't be so difficult. And it is a razor's edge, as we know, because there's always a margin, right? And it's like a razor in the sense that, you can go either way, like this whole fence analogy, right? You're on the fence, your margin, you go Krishna and Maya. And so it is also like a razor, too, in the sense that, little inattention and you're cut. You move this way off, the sharp edge and you're cut. Right? But then there's the protection of Krishna. There's always a sharp edge in the material world, right? But there's the protection of Guru and Krishna and the devotees to help you and keep you from always getting cut from passion and ignorance and even maybe some goodness.
Anything else? Yes, who? Do you think you're in the beginning about painting and meditation? Especially as you get older, it's quite distressful to have any dreams and meditation. But it seems like when you're young, that's like what makes life exciting. You're hankering to this and you want to achieve it, So it's hard for sometimes the youth to see, what's the big. They don't have that many meditation.
Yeah, we can just see that the quality of the hankering can just change, just like we always explain, quality of the consciousness needs to change. So hanker and be eager for the real life, and see, just see the examples of those who hanker in the material world, what happens. every day there's a story, this singer, what happened to her, and she left her body, and all these things that happened. And she had everything, and then she overdosed, and then, on and on and on and on. It's just like one story of hankering, lamenting, misery, birth, death, disease, and old age, and no real happiness. Reality. It's just, just by observing, we can see. But it's hard to see something like that if you don't want to see it. That's the thing. If you don't want to see, then everything material seems rosy. But the material world is designed that when the living entity is so much wallowing and everything's rosy, then boom, there's something to come, some kind of sinful reaction or something's coming to pop the bubble so that the living entity can gradually get out of that illusion. I mean, it's all for that ultimate good in that sense. But we can always give so many examples to anyone about the bubble of material life. And even so many young people these days, they see a lot of their idols their bubbles were popped. And so they can see there's got to be something a little bit more than this. And so how would you help like the group of students or Dharma Den or something to pop that bubble? I mean, what would you say?
Usually try to meditate on what they like if someone's making for a specific thing, whether it's a career or to do something to improve the quality of the world. I try to look at the essence of what they're trying to get out of that and show them how it's more fully manifest in Christian consciousness. Like if you're trying to change the world, you can do more to, you can do more of that than Christian consciousness. If you're trying to become settled or something, just try to see what are they actually looking for in their anchoring, and then show them it's more full here than it is there. It's one thing I'm trying to test.
Because
I know, so it doesn't crush them.
Right.
But they're not even that selfish. But if they can just redirect it.
Right, exactly. Just change the consciousness. Help them to see how they can really fulfill those kind of desires, like Prabhupada would always say, dovetail. Try to dovetail. Okay. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We've got Mahaprasadam here.